Soda Company is delivered by TriStar, moving 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Today, we are live at Twin Peaks. That's right, out here, Galleria Boulevard in Cool Springs, 29-degree beer, and the best scenic views. And I actually see the little thing in front of me right now. The beer is at 29.7 degrees Fahrenheit. And so the pregame show will be live here. Every road game this season, we will be live here at Twin Peaks out here in Cool Springs. Come on out and hang today. And, of course, today we're going to start at 3:45, early start because of the early game. But Eddie George will be with us today for the pregame show. So Chris Sanders will be coaching football. He's out. Eddie George is in. So it'll be me, Eddie, and Derek getting you set for the Titans and the Bills today. And you got a great chance to win a Titans football jersey every time that the Titans take the field this season. You must stay until the end of the game for the drawing. And today, you got a chance to win a Titans football jersey. And again, you got to stay till the end in order to do that. Twin Peaks out here carries all of the pay-per-view events. And they got happy hour every day, 2 to 7. For $1 off drafts and, well, drinks. Caroline Fenton is here today. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how we doing?
Outstanding. Ian's here today. Hello, Ian.
What up, what up?
All right, let's get right into tonight's matchup. Let me say this. I find Twitter to be, on a football Sunday that the Titans do not play, the whiniest place in the world. I mean, good grief, was it whiny yesterday with some of these Titan fans. And so I've got good news and bad news. I'm going to start with the bad news first and then work my way to the good news. Is that okay?
I think that's okay.
Okay. The bad news. I fully, completely expect the Tennessee Titans to be 0-2 by 10 o'clock tonight. Early start time, 6:15 kickoff, which means the game will probably be over around 8:45, 9 o'clock, which will be nice for a change. But Monday night football, the commercial breaks seem to be extra long, and it could go to overtime or whatever. So by 10 o'clock, when we will absolutely, positively have a winner decided, I am fully expecting the Tennessee Titans to be 0-2 tonight. And I can already hear the whining that I saw on Twitter yesterday right now as I say this of, Jared, you're not going to give us a chance. And Jared, you think the Buffalo Bills are so good. Or Jared, you're trash. You're a hater. You don't. I'm just calling it how it is. The Bills' defensive line is better than the Titans' offensive line. The Bills' wide receivers are better than the Titans' secondary. The Bills' quarterback is better than the entire Titans team. I mean, let's just call it how it is. They got 7 sacks last week of Matthew Stafford and the Rams. They're a really good team. They've got a number one quarterback. They've got a number one wide receiver. They've got a Hall of Fame pass rusher. They've got the best safety combination in the NFL. They've got better special teams than the Titans. That is a really, really, really good team. Playing at home in a really hard-to-win stadium in front of one of the most loyal fan bases in the NFL. Let's just keep it real. There is a reason why the Titans, who were the number one seed in the AFC a year ago and have beaten Buffalo 2 years in a row, there's a reason why they are a 10-point underdog tonight. So I'm just telling you all. Now, this is a good thing. This is not the good news, but this is a good thing because what I've learned in my life is that it is a lot harder as a fan when you get your expectations up and the team throws 3 interceptions against the Bengals and loses than it is when you don't expect to win a game. Mike Vrabel pulls off the Vrabel special, and the next day everybody's going to work saying, can you believe they pulled it off? And that will be fun if the Titans are able to do that. But I just want everybody out there to know, I fully expect the Tennessee Titans to be 0-2 by 10 o'clock tonight. Now, you ready for the good news on that?
I'm so ready for the good news.
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. I think this AFC stinks. I think the AFC South sucks. I watched yesterday the Jacksonville-Indianapolis game.
That game was so brutal.
I mean, I had on the Red Zone channel and saw them cut to it or, like, no. I Sunday ticketed the Colts and the Jags, and I sat my rear end on the couch, and I watched the Colts play the Jags, and I didn't watch any of the other games. I didn't flip to New England and Pittsburgh. I couldn't tell you what happened in that game. I don't even really know what happened in this fight between the Buccaneers and the Saints because I didn't really watch that game. I watched the Colts, and I watched the Jags. And let me tell you something. They're both terrible. The Jags are way better than the Colts. The Colts are horrible.
They're brutal.
They're horrible. That is a bad football team. They are poorly coached. They got an old quarterback. Their offensive line is a joke. Their wide receivers stink. Their pass rush is non-existent. Their second, the Colts are awful. There is a difference, in my opinion, between it's early in the season, everybody's getting it worked out, they'll work out the kinks, and bad. Cincinnati, I mean, like, they probably won't be as good as they were last year, but they'll work out some of the kinks and they'll be okay as long as the quarterback doesn't get hurt.
But I don't think anyone expected Cincinnati to go back to the Super Bowl this year.
I don't know, man. A lot of people are picking Cincinnati to win that division, have a bye. Like, they were pretty high on
Cincinnati.
Expect
them to be good.
I don't think they expect them to be 0-2. But the more important thing is, like, I don't think Cincinnati's a horrendous team.
No.
I think they got a bad coach, but I don't think they're a bad team.
With that quarterback, I don't think you can be horrendous.
The Colts are terrible.
Yeah.
They're terrible. And so I look at this AFC right now, and I look at the Titans. Now, I don't like the fact that the Raiders lost, which, boy, was Twitter freaking pouting over that when I said, hey, it's probably be better off if the Raiders win here so that the Raiders don't spend all week stewing about what happened when they lost to the video game Cardinals. And everyone's like, we'll be motivated, Jared. You watch. I'm like, okay, all right, fine, whatever. But I'm just telling you, the AFC right now, I think there are two really, really good teams. And I hate to say it because it feels like it keeps coming back to it. Buffalo, Kansas City. And so I don't have to worry about them anyways. They're probably going to win their divisions unless they have a just horrific injury, and they'll all be okay. I thought Baltimore was going to be a legit, I mean, super stud team. They fell apart yesterday. I'm not sold on the Miami Dolphins, though I do like their two wide receivers. I'm not sold on the Miami Dolphins. I see a lot of good and a lot of bad with all of these teams. The only reason the Titans didn't win the Giants game is because they couldn't make a field goal. Now, is that a bigger problem? Probably not. But I keep going back to the fact that, look, they may start 0-2, and they may be 0-2 after this game, but it'll be no division losses in a division that is terrible with a team that will be backs against the wall next week if they play the Raiders. Now, if they get to 0-3, you're going to hear me blow a gasket. But if they start the year 0-2, I'm not going to be upset about it, and it's going to be totally fine because this AFC is going to be super jumbled up. It's going to be a lot of 9-8. A lot of 8-9 with Kansas City and Buffalo probably running away with it, and then everybody else fighting and clawing this war of attrition. I mean, I love to talk good about the Chargers, but their quarterback's got broken ribs, so I'm not so sure how I feel about them anymore. So as long as something catastrophic does not happen to the Titans tonight, like Ryan Tannehill out for the season, Derrick Henry out for the season, Jeffrey Simmons out for the season, as long as something catastrophic does not happen to the Titans tonight, I'm okay with them losing to Buffalo. I expect them to lose to Buffalo. They should lose to Buffalo. They probably are going to lose to Buffalo, and I'm okay with losing to Buffalo, given what I've seen from the rest of the AFC. And again, all that matters is get into the dance. And if you win your division, and boy, it feels like this division stinks. If you win this division, you host a home playoff game. So while I don't totally believe in the idea that a 7-9 team that wins a bad, or I guess it would be what, 8-9, an 8-9 team that wins a bad division and sneaks into the playoffs like Tim Tebow's Broncos can go all the way to the Super Bowl, I never expected the Titans to do that to begin with. You never expected it. We all never expected it. Everybody. There's not Super Bowl aspirations around here. But if they host a home playoff game and they win that home playoff game, then they're right back where they were last year. So I know it sounds crazy, but I'm not hitting the panic button today, and it might get ugly. It really might. Buffalo's a really good team. As I just said on the midday show, this league, it's odd, it's weird how every time you think there's a really, really good team and a really, really bad team and the spread is a college-like massive number, you end up getting Marcus Mariota trying to throw a Hail Mary at the end of the game like we had yesterday with the Falcons and the Rams. So, again, I'm expecting them to be 0-2. If they're not 0-2 at the end of the day, I will say that that is a positive, and everybody will be ecstatic and happy about it tomorrow. And the Super Bowl Express will leave downtown Nashville at 10:05 tonight. But if they are, it's not the end of the world. And I think that's a great place for the Titans to be in. Your opening thoughts on today's game?
Well, Well, and you bring up, you know, you're not gonna blow a gasket if the Titans lose this game, and I think that's fair because I don't think that we can talk so much in the offseason about how good Buffalo is and how good they looked against the Rams and then turn around and get angry if the Titans lose to the Bills. But I do think the manner in which the Titans, if the Titans do lose to the Bills, I do think the manner in which they do matters. Because if it's mistake prone, if it's Tannehill turns the football over, if it's sloppy coverage, if it's just kind of bad things and bad mistakes all throughout the game, I do think that's something tangible that you can take away from it. If it's the Bills are just a better football team than the Titans, which it looks like they are on pretty much both sides of the ball and everything but the run game, if it's just the Bills are better, I can live with that.
Isn't that what a blowout's going to look like anyways?
I'm not saying a blowout, but I am saying mistakes.
Like the turnovers. Like the way the league works. So let's just say that the Bills are a better team, right?
I think that they are, yes. Okay. And I don't think anyone could really.
So let's say the Bills are just a much better team. Well, they're going to let's say they throw a deep touchdown pass because Caleb Farley is not as good as Stephon Diggs. Well, that's going to look like a blown coverage.
But
you know
like,
what I mean?
Horrendous. Like bad mistakes that what we've seen from Caleb Farley or from Christian Fulton, at least in the preseason from Christian Fulton against the Giants.
Well, he's
just
out,
getting burned. I know, but I'm saying like what we saw from Christian Fulton against the Giants in that Sterling Shepard touchdown pass. Like those kinds of things.
But that's what the good players are going to do anyways. Like here's how the Titans are going to lose if they end up losing this game. Tannehill's they're going to get down like 10-0 early. The Titans are, and this is why I just said on the midday show, the Titans are going to be in passing situations. It's going to be third down and 11. Everybody in the ballpark knows the Titans are throwing it. Titans are going to have to send more than two receivers out into the pass pattern, which means there's not a lot of people left in the block, which means Tannehill's going to be there with his five offensive linemen, his undersized guard, his rookie right tackle, who Trevor Maddich is scared to death about in this game, and his rookie running back, who will have to step up in pass pro. So he's going to have three or four receivers out into the pattern, and then Von Miller's going one-on-one with Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. Well, Tannehill has to wait for those guys to get to the sticks in order to throw it on third and 11. So when they do that, what does that mean?
All I'm saying is I understand the Bills are a very good team, but they're not going to make the Titans look just god-awful all game long. And if they do, then I have a problem with that.
Oh, I think if the Bills, I don't care if they get blown out today. I do not foresee, like, if they lose a close game, it'll be because, like, what happened last week where they missed a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody will be losing their crap over every bad call on third down or every, you know, the fact that the field goal kicker missed another field goal or that they fumbled another punt, or there will be one play or two plays where everybody will throw everything in the air and get mad at one or two people, probably the play caller, the quarterback, the kicker, you know, the usual suspects. If not, it'll just be Buffalo just smacking them. And I'm okay with that. I mean, I think there's a difference between 69-0 in the snow against the Patriots and the typical blowout.
Mm-hmm.
But like a 35-13 game, that is probably what I'm expecting. Just because of how the game flows. And if Buffalo gets a big lead, now Buffalo gets to do whatever they want on offense, and the Titans have to throw. And if the Titans have to throw, that means they can't run. And that means they're going to have, you know, four play possessions, and then they punt to the Bills, and the Bills score again. And so it's all this snowball factor. So a blowout against Buffalo would not affect me one iota today. So that's the bad news. I expect the Titans to lose today. I expect them to be 0-2 at 10 o'clock. The good news? I don't think it ends the season by any stretch of the imagination. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get them rocking and rolling because we are out today at 3:45 for the pregame show. So get your phones in early because we will not be able to get to them often in the back end of the show. 615-737-1025. Now, there is a stat that they kept saying yesterday. I don't know how many times you heard this. I did red zone it for the last window after I watched the Colts get annihilated by Jacksonville. I did flip it to the red zone channel to see Denver and the Texans and Marcus and the Falcons. And boy, Marcus stinks. Boy, and I hate saying that because I love him. But God, he sucks. Marcus and the Falcons and the Cowboys and everything else. And there's one stat that they kept bringing up. And do we have fear about this stat? We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Derek, it's only week two, but do you guys as a team go into this week saying, you know, our backs are against the wall. We can't go 0-2, anything like that.
We're not getting too overwhelmed about week one. All we can do is control what we control and come out here until Monday comes and get better as the week goes on, and go out there and try to win a game on Monday. You know, that's week one. In this game, you get another opportunity, and that's all you can hope for.
There you go. That was Derrick Henry. As he was saying, yeah, can't get too worked up one way or another about it. Again, Stillman & Company today live out here at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, out here at Galleria Boulevard. Pre-game show starts at 3:45. So there was one stat yesterday that they just kept plastering on all the broadcasts, especially the late window ones, which is since the NFL has expanded to 14 teams in the playoffs in 2020, no team has started 0-2 and made it into the playoffs. Does that worry us that if the Titans lose to the Bills because they don't have a legitimate field goal kicker, which don't even get me started because Maher yesterday for the Cowboys worked out for the Titans in 2019, and I guess he wasn't good enough for them, but can't make it from 45-plus Randy Bullock was. 2-year deal for Randy Bullock, by the way. But if they don't win today, how worried are we about the Titans' chances of making the playoffs? Let's go around the room. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Go.
That is a crazy stat, but it doesn't worry me, honestly, because I don't think that all 0-2 starts are created equally. I also think you can look at the division, and if the Titans can pull out some of the wins on their schedule that they should win, looking around the division, I don't think it's going to be too difficult of a division to win, honestly. And I also look at hot starts in the past, like the Arizona Cardinals, for example. They were unbeatable at the beginning of last season, the first half of last season. I mean, they were undefeated through, I don't know how long, but several weeks. And then look how their season turned out. So I don't think it's always fair to look at the start and equate that to see how your season will end. And also, this division looks so far to be fairly winnable.
Ian?
I'm a little bit worried about it. I mean, to Caroline's point, the only saving grace, I think, is the division.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe you can look at the fact that Cincinnati and the Raiders are both also 0-2. Maybe that gives you a little bit of a glimmer of hope that, you know, if you're 0-2, most of your other competition you think for the playoffs is also 0-2. So maybe the wild card won't be as high as you think. But I think the only saving grace is 0-2 is the division. But I would be worried, yes.
So what would you rather be? Would you rather be 0-2, but knowing that one of the hardest games on your schedule, Buffalo, is now out of the way, and not have your quarterback have broken ribs like the Chargers, or be 1-1 and have your quarterback with broken ribs like the Chargers?
Well, I would not like my quarterback to have broken ribs. So whatever the option is to not have that, I choose that one.
Okay. So here's my thing. I agree with both of you. The division sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, and I watched Jacksonville yesterday. The thing about Jacksonville is it's amazing. Jacksonville has hit on all of these high-end draft picks over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Like Cam Robinson is a starting left tackle. Jawan Taylor is a starting right tackle. Josh Allen is a legitimate pass rusher for them. Trevor Lawrence looks like a real quarterback. But every other pick that they've made over the years has been awful. Like every second-round pick they've made, every third-round pick, every fourth-round pick, it feels like they've all been terrible. But it's almost like the Jacksonville Jaguars have had all these years of ineptitude, gotten a handful of really good players because of it, and then somebody injected just a little bit of positive energy and coaching into it, and so now they're a better team than the Colts. But they're not a better team than the Titans, so I'm not worried about that. The division's the saving grace. Here's the thing, though, about that stat that or at least sticks out in my mind. And, you know, people are going to say, don't get too worried about the next game when you get Buffalo tonight on Monday night. They can't lose tonight and lose the Raiders.
No.
You lose it tonight and you lose to the Raiders, you're done. So I'm with you guys. That stat does not worry me. The 0-2, first of all, you only got 2 years worth of data.
Yeah.
It's not like we got 47 years worth of information to go off of. It's only 2 years worth of data. The Titans, when it was six teams that made it out of the AFC, started 2-4 in 2019 and ended up in the AFC Championship game. Not saying that's the rule, but given this division, I mean, the Colts are a mess. They saw Darius Butler, and he's, you know, used to play for the Colts, mm-hmm. and he's part of McAfee's crew. And, like, they're very close, I think, with Jim Irsay.
Yeah.
And he tweeted out today that, like, Frank Reich's going nowhere, which is good news because he is a doofus.
Well, didn't he just get a massive contract extension?
Well, I think massive might be overselling it a little bit.
And a contract that was extension.
Last year that he got it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you work 2 years into it. He probably got like a 4-year extension. So they'd have to pay him off for 2 more years. But if Irsay was going to get that mad about losing to Jacksonville and forcing the quarterback out there and, you know, really laying the law down and spending an entire summer complaining about losing to Jacksonville, and then they tied the Texans and lost 24-0 to Jacksonville, I can't imagine Irsay's very happy. And he's got enough money to fire these guys. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I it's like the Urban Meyer thing in Jacksonville. I hope they never fire Jim never fire Frank Reich. But the stat doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me if they start 0-2. It bothers me if Derrick Henry tears his ACL today. Now I got a problem. But as far as just the 0-2, not bothered by it. Maybe we'll look back on it and think that that was – yeah, I got to tell you what I kept thinking about yesterday watching some of these games. If they had made that kick against the Giants, everything would be in a better place for the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we would be talking about winning this game and the Titans being a top five team in the NFL if they go on the road and beat Buffalo.
Would we be talking about the Titans winning this game?
Sure. Sure.
Really? I mean, you seem very convinced. Like, you said you'd be fine with a blowout. I don't think that the difference between making a field goal and not making a field goal is having a conversation about being okay with being blown out and potentially beating the Bills. I don't think it's that big of a difference there.
So I'll use the Buffalo Bills as an example here.
Okay.
Scott Norwood, if he makes his field goal against the New York Giants in the Super Bowl and it goes through, we never talk about that 1990s Buffalo team as the team that could never win.
Yeah.
You know, like, if that, I know it's crazy, but I believe that was their second Super Bowl. I could be wrong about that. It might have been their first, where Norwood missed the kick wide right. Like, you go back to that, if he makes that field goal, even if they lose to Dallas, even if they lose to Washington, even if they lose to Dallas again, it doesn't matter.
They have that one Super Bowl.
They have the one, and Marv Levy's got his title, and Jim Kelly's got his title, and Bill Polian doesn't have to go to Indianapolis to get his title, and it's just a totally different story. It's like...
But that's the difference between winning a Super Bowl and not winning a Super Bowl. That's still a massive difference.
It's still one kick. It's like the Giants, if they make the one kick, the Titans are 1-0. And if the Titans are 1-0, having been the number one seed in the AFC South a year ago, then they're turning their attention and they go out and they beat Buffalo, then all of a sudden it's like, wow, Tennessee has been up there with Buffalo and Kansas City over the last 4 years, and Tennessee is still up there with Buffalo and Kansas City. Instead, it's like, man, let's just hope they're not, let's just hope Jacksonville hasn't passed them. And it's all off of one kick. And I don't think Jacksonville has passed them.
No.
But, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, I don't want to get too worked up about one game, but the Colts have now had 2 bad games. Trevor Lawrence looked like a grown-up quarterback yesterday, and that bothers me a little bit. And it almost has me shifting my attention when I spent all summer talking about Indianapolis, mm-hmm. and everyone kept hyping up the Colts and pumping up the Colts and everything else, and now it's kind of changed it a little bit to this weird sense of, should we be worried about Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville as opposed to being worried about Indy? But it's early. It's early.
It's early, and I do feel like that is a conversation that we had in the offseason a good bit of, is this the year that we should be worried about Trevor Lawrence? Did Urban Meyer not actually ruin Trevor Lawrence after all? Is Christian Kirk what Trevor Lawrence needed to unlock this passing game? Which maybe all would have sounded a little bit dramatic. But still.
We had that conversation like once a month during the summer. We had Colts conversation like once a day.
Oh, no, for sure. I'm not saying we talked about the Jags more than the Colts, but sure. I'm saying that is something that we entertained.
Sure. I was in a weird spot yesterday. I was rooting for the Texans to beat Denver because I can't stand Russell Wilson.
He's so annoying.
And I can't stand Nathaniel Hackett. And I can't stand all the Denver hype knowing that for Titan fans, it's probably better to root for the Broncos to win. Like, that, you probably want the Texans to lose. I was rooting for the Raiders against the Cardinals.
You just cannot stand Kyler Murray.
I can't. He is so Vince Young. Like, it's so unbelievable to me how much he's like Vince Young. He is electrifying. He is athletic. He just wins ball games. He's lazy. He's poorly coached. He's never going to be great. He's never going to live up to his potential. And yet nobody, when the game is on the line, can dominate a mediocre opponent like Vince Young or Kyler Murray. They can't beat good teams, but they can dominate those mediocre Houston Texan teams from the mid-2000s. Vince Young did that. Like, I felt like I was watching Vince Young last night when I was watching Kyler Murray. And it's so the only difference is Vince Young's bigger than Kyler Murray. That's it. But boy, I'll tell you, he is Vince Young.
I mean, that 2-point conversion.
That was a throw.
That was something.
What I mean, and like Vince Young, again, not known for his accuracy or throwing, but Vince Young could freaking make they had a stat yesterday in one of these games. I want to say it was the Dolphin game. I can't remember. They had a stat where they were like, this is the first time in the history of the NFL since 2006 that a team has been down 21 points at halftime and come all the way back to win. And I'm like, that was the Vince Young game against the Giants in 2006. When they were like, this is the first time since 2006. I'm like, that's the Vince Young game. The one where my dad and I left early in the fourth quarter down 21 points and Vince Young and Pac-Man, of all people, took it over and the Titans won. So with that, we'll get to your phones. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tune in for Sounds Baseball tonight at 535 on 94.9 The Fan as the Sounds take on the Louisville Bats. The AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds had a great time in Louisville this weekend. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Caroline, tell us about the Caesars Sportsbook app.
All right, it is time for the Caesars Sportsbook Report. Now, first thing is first. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. They've got you covered. Just download the app and use the promo code RADIOFULL. One word, Radio Full, and then place your first bet. And if you win, then congratulations. But if not, don't worry about it. You'll get that stake back as a free bet. And I'm not going to give away my official prediction for the game, but there is an odds boost going on Caesar Sportsbook for the Titans-Bills game tonight. Josh Allen and Derrick Henry, each over 49.5 rushing yards tonight at plus 170 odds. I take it. That is my bet tonight. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. If qualifying bet loses, bet amount returned as a credit. Must use within 14 days. Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get.
Kevin, that underdog mentality, constantly being viewed an underdog in some of these bigger games, is that something that you guys really like to relish an opportunity here to maybe prove some people wrong and embrace that underdog mindset going into these big games?
I guess it's just something that we're just used to. You know, I always feel like, because like I said, since I've been here, we've always been the underdog. And I would rather, I don't know, I guess in whatever scenario you like to look at it, but I'd rather be the one chasing the one that's being chased, you know what I'm saying? So that's usually how it goes. And I think that guys understand that. And, you know, I feel like you just kind of go into games with a different mentality when you know that you're not really picked to win. It's like not necessarily David and Goliath, but, you know what I'm saying, the little man versus the big guy, you know what I'm saying? So I think just as a team, we just understand that role and, you know, we just try to, you know, play the best we can.
There you go, Kevin Byard, a victim. We're always the underdogs. Let me say this for everybody out there. I saw Myles Garrett came out and I guess he's mad because they got booed yesterday at home.
Yeah.
You want to not get booed at home? Don't
maybe,
lose to the Jets.
Maybe win some games.
You don't want to be an underdog? Don't lose to the Giants, Titans. I think if you don't lose to the Giants, you don't have to worry about nobody ever picks us. Don't lose to the Giants. You win the games you're supposed to win, then you don't have to win the games against the teams like Buffalo to dig yourselves out of the hole that you put yourselves in.
Although it would be nice.
Just
win both of them. Beat the bad teams, beat the good teams.
I do not have faith in the Titans ever being able to do that at any point in my lifetime. I plan to live to be about 100, and so that would give me about 60-something good years left. And if that's the case, I still never expect that over the next 60 or so years. I did promise your phones. First, though, let me remind everybody we're live out at Cool Springs, out at Twin Peaks, out here in Cool Springs, home of the pregame show, 3:45 to 5:45 today. It'll be yours truly, Derek Mason, and TSU head coach and Titans great Eddie George on the pregame show today before the Titans take on the Bills. And the pregame show is presented by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Peanut Butter Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, An Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. And again, we're live out here at Twin Peaks with the 29-degree beer and the best scenic views. And you got a chance to win a Titans football jersey tonight. You do have to be here, though, for the game at the end in order to win that. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. What do we have?
Michael texts in and asks, could this division be won with an 8-9 record?
No. Jacksonville will win too many games, and there are too many. For, we have to remember, Jacksonville's getting a fourth-place schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So where you get Aaron Rodgers, they get, I'm trying to think of who finished fourth in that division. I'm guessing it was the Lions.
Probably so.
So they get Jared Goff. Now, let me say something.
You love yourself some Jared Goff.
It's not Jared Goff that I love. It's Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was taken three picks after Dez Fitzpatrick last year in the 2021 draft. Amon-Ra St. Brown, did you see what he did yesterday for Detroit?
I did not, no.
He has set an NFL record with the most games. I believe it's 8 catches in a game to start a career. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 9 for like 118 and 2 touchdowns.
Jeez.
And again, 3 picks after Dez Fitzpatrick. Congratulations to the Titans there on the Dez Fitzpatrick pick, whom they've cut now twice.
Yeah, not just once.
But Jacksonville, in order for a team to lose 8 games, they're going to have to lose those games to somebody. And so somebody in the division is going to have to win these games unless they all are going to tie. So I don't see 8 wins winning this division. 9 maybe. Was the question 8 or 9?
8 and 9.
I think 9 wins could probably do it, but I don't think 8 wins can do it because somebody's going to have to win those games, whether it's Jacksonville or Houston. What's next?
Canadian Titan texts in and says, I understand being concerned that the Titans bungled the Giants game, but aren't we counting them out too early? Noah Oliver or Gabe Davis could spell disaster for the Bills and plays right into how the Titans want to play.
Okay. No. Like, I'm telling you all, man, look, these games are weird. Like, they're weird. The Falcons yesterday had a chance to win the game against the Rams in the fourth quarter until Marcus just absolutely pooped his pants at the end. I mean, Jalen Ramsey, who, by the way, has had a horrible start to his season, had an interception where Marcus just overthrew the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's wild because the Falcons are horrible. They're horrible.
They're not a good team.
And they had a chance to beat the Rams. Now, I'm not totally impressed with the Rams. And, again, I think everybody's one way or another. But I just – the energy in Buffalo. If this game was here, I could argue that the Titans could do some things that would, you know, jimmy the game up a little bit and everything else. That game there, that's a hard stadium to win in. The Titans have not won a game there in Buffalo since, I want to say, 2012. I think they won a game, and that was when Buffalo was one of the worst teams in the league. And I think they won it at the last second. That's a hard place to play.
I think it's a hard place to win at. I do think there is a saving grace there with this being week two. Can you imagine the Titans going to Buffalo in November?
Yeah. I mean, they played there in like week 5 a couple years ago, and the wind was still – that wind, there's a certain wind that swooshes through that stadium that makes it very tough for – it's like I heard Craig Aukerman say last week, that if Kyle Phillips doesn't go today, that they've had Treylon Burks, Robert Woods, and Amani Hooker returning punts. And I'm like, just put Woods back there. Just put Robert Woods back there because he's played in that stadium before.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows, like, he was a member of the Bills, so he knows, like, how that stadium works. Just put him back there to catch the punt, and I don't care if you get a return on it or not. And I say
just
that because
–
that stadium is very difficult to play in at any point. And this year, like those fans, I mean, one of my really close friends from college is the head coach at the University of Buffalo for the women's basketball team there. Mm-hmm. She was my age at Louisville. We spent 4 years together. We're very, very close. She's the head coach at Buffalo. She likes football, but it's not her life. And she was telling me, like, I'm so into the Bills. And I'm like, really?
It's hard to not be into the Bills.
I mean, it is so contagious in that city.
The
whole city is on fire for this Bills team. And it's going to be – I mean, I love Gabriel Davis, but I don't know if that makes that big of a difference. Same with Ed Oliver. What's next?
Mason texts in and says, you might want to think about how Vrabel teams play after bad losses and how they play in primetime as the underdog before you expect a 35-13 score.
First of all, I'm the one who invented the Mike Vrabel special. I am the one who invented. I was listening to Robbie and Rex Row this morning.
I heard them talking about the Vrabel special.
I went to the doctor this morning, and I was on my way listening to Robbie and Joe. And they were like, you know, this could be the Vrabel special today. And I'm like, oh, man, that's really catching on. And it's catching on because it's real.
It is, and it's wild.
It's real. This team might be too good for it. Like the Titans.
But isn't that the whole point of the Vrabel special?
No. The Titans in 2019 went to the AFC Championship game, and it was the way that they just attacked those teams, whether it was the Ravens or the Patriots, and it was like, that team will not lose. That team refuses. That team is tough. That team gets on you. That team is physical. That team runs the ball on you. And then they ran into the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs were just too much for them. It was like they did everything just like they did the other two games, but the Chiefs were just too much for them. And they just couldn't play a good enough game to beat the Chiefs because the Chiefs were just too good. And that's ultimately how I feel about the Bills. Like, in some of these Vrabel specials, the Rams, for instance, last year.
Uh-huh.
I know the Rams won the Super Bowl.
But they were not the best team in the league last year.
I didn't feel like the Rams were this unbelievably...
I didn't see the Titans beating the Rams, going on the road and beating the Rams without Derrick Henry.
I know, but that Rams team's not as good as this Bills team.
Yeah.
This Bills team is really, really
Josh
good.
Allen is just that good.
I mean, the best team that I've ever seen in my lifetime is the 2007 Patriots. They didn't win the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Like, this, and I'm not saying this team's that good, but it doesn't mean that you have to win the Super Bowl to be a good team and not with another. And so, I mean, guys, we need to be real about the Bills. Like, that's the one thing that I got to tell you about the Bills.
But I do think there's an element here, too, that the Bills are not going to go 17-0.
I'm not willing to say that.
You're not willing to say that they will not lose a single game. It is too early for me to say that. They look like a damn good team. They were picked to win the Super Bowl.
I'm willing to say it. Baltimore could be tough for them. And then maybe on the road at Miami could be tough for them. And I don't know what NFC games they have this year. But they're pretty good. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm just saying that I'm not willing to rule it out. Not willing to say that they have that kind of flaw, because I've seen a team that was that good. That Patriots team was that good. And we didn't know week one when they beat the Jets and Spygate came out, we didn't know that they were going to be that good. And they were that good. And that Patriot team was, they were always good in competing for the Super Bowl, and they'd already won three, but then they went and added Randy Moss.
Right.
And that was kind of like the nuclear bomb to the whole thing that was like, wow, this team is unstoppable. This team added Von Miller. You know, like that might be the thing that takes the Bills from really, really good last year to unstoppable this year. 615-737-1025. But the texter did reference something that I do think matters. Like, I do think it matters, and I want to get to that next. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, those are my guys. They take great care of my home, and I promise they can do the exact same for you. Whenever I've got something wrong at my home, whether it's plumbing or whether it's the HVAC system or whatever, I just literally go to my phone, and I book an appointment right there, and they are usually there within a day or two. It is that easy. And since it's grilling and chilling season, Hiller is celebrating all month long with special deals for their customers, so you can tackle your necessary home system replacements this month to take advantage of special deals, like a free Yeti Tundra cooler with the purchase of a new tankless water heater, a free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of a new whole home generator, a free Yeti Tundra cooler with the purchase of a full home septic system, and they're going to help make sure that you get this all taken care of, especially with your HVAC systems, like 0% interest financing for up to 48 months on select new HVAC systems. Hiller's work is backed by the Happy You'll Be Your Services Free Guarantee. And I know this because I use Hiller, and I love them. They take great care of my home. They can do the same for you. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Call the Happy Face Truck today. Again, we are live out here at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. Pre-game show starts at 3:45. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Any other injuries around the NFL that are notable here, either tonight or from yesterday?
Tonight, the big one is Gabe Davis.
Okay.
He sprained his ankle in, like, almost, like, not a walkthrough, but almost a walkthrough on Saturday, I believe it was. Yeah, Saturday, because they play Monday. I would say he's real questionable for tonight's game.
Damn.
They'll give him a chance, but it does not sound good. So, like, if you have him in fantasy, I probably would not play him.
Yeah, or anytime touchdown scores for
yeah, good and right.
All of us.
I mean, I'm not – whatever you do there, like, if you want to not include him in that stuff, that would probably be a good idea.
There he you go. That was Ian Rappaport today on the Pat McAfee Show. Gabriel Davis, it didn't say doubtful, but it sounds like he's not going to play. And let me just say that is a big one. I know the texter said, what about it? And I was like, ah, Buffalo's still really good. And they are. Gabriel Davis is really, really, really good. Against the he went bananas last year in that divisional game, the Bills-Chiefs game. Uh-huh. Davis was the one who went bananas for them. Again, 4 catches for 88 and a touch against the Rams. Last year, he had 3 catches for 105 in a win over the Jets. Gabriel Davis is a baddie. And to not have Christian Fulton's out for the Titans, which is probably bad news. And I'm sure whoever the fourth best receiver, third best receiver for the Bills is, I'm guessing that would be Jamison Crowder. But
Crowder
whomever,
is in the rotation, correct?
Yeah. Whoever that is probably better than Farley for the Titans, but to not have Fulton and to take out Gabriel Davis, that is
Could that be a wash?
I don't think it's a wash. I think it's a plus for the Titans. Because I think, you know, Fulton's play on a scale of 1 to 10 is like a 6 or a 7. And Gabriel Davis's play for the Bills is like a 9. And so they lose a 9, you lose a 6. They put in a 5, you put in a 4. I'd say net positive for the Titans if Gabriel Davis is out today. But then again, Ian Rappaport said he might play. But I don't think he will, just off of what I heard from Ian Rappaport there. Back to your phone. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, live out at Twin Peaks out here in Cool Springs. And again, let me tell everybody out there that Bavarian Beer House is Nashville's only authentic German beer hall. It's a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German bratwurst, schnitzel, giant pretzels, and more in an Oktoberfest-inspired space. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. What do we have in the text line?
Josh in Florida says, I like being the underdogs. It gives the Titans a chip.
I mean, the Titans definitely play better after they lose a game, and the Titans definitely play better when everybody says they can't win, and they definitely play worse when everybody completely expects them to play well or when everybody starts complimenting them. They go out there and they stink it up. And that has always been how they've been under Vrabel. I don't think there's any difference about that. But that is truly the only thing that anybody can really hold near and dear to their chests and their hearts mm-hmm. is that they always play better. That's why yesterday, the boo-hoo Twitter crew yesterday, I mean, I just pointed out that I think the Raiders losing yesterday was bad for the Titans. Because not only did the Raiders lose, but they got embarrassed and they're 0-2.
And how do you blow that lead?
They got embarrassed.
Yes, they did.
And so what they're going to do is they're going to spend all week, and their motivating factors are, if we start 0-3 in that division, our season is probably over. Mm-hmm. They also know that they got embarrassed in front of everybody because that game got flipped over late because 60 Minutes had an interview with the president, and they didn't want to lose any audience, so they decided to keep everybody at football until the end of that game so then it could go into 60 Minutes. So everybody saw it. And they're not a bad football team. And so they're going to spend all week gearing up for the Titans. And these people on Twitter were like, oh, yeah, Jared, a football team's going to be motivated. They're always motivated. I'm like, guys.
It's different.
The Raiders' season is on the line here on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Now, the Titans' season might be on the line, too, if they're 0-2. But the Raiders' season will be on the line. So when everybody talks about that chip on the shoulder and the I like being the underdogs and I like that, just know, like, okay, I like it too, but next week that's what the Raiders are.
But you also can't hang your hat on being the underdog and getting motivated after a bad loss and then turn around and say football teams are always motivated.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make sense there.
Yeah. I mean, look, maybe the Titans pull a Vrabel special tonight. I just have a lot of respect for the Bills. What's next?
Neil texts in and says, who will line up against Stephon Diggs?
So the Titans don't do that. So this happens almost every time where everybody says, you know, like, oh, okay. It's like almost a basketball mentality of going over a football game.
One-on-one.
Like, right. The Titans don't do that. One guy plays the left side. Mm-hmm. One guy plays the right side. One guy plays in the slot. Here's what I think they're going to do. I think ultimately, now they will sometimes have a guy travel. If they do, it's McCreary. I believe that the Titans will give safety help over whoever Stephon Diggs is with. So wherever it is, Stephon Diggs will be doubled the whole game. And if they're going to double him, then it's probably going to be with Farley a lot, who will be the guy that's on him. And, you know, the Titans are going to have to learn to live through this one. This is one of those ones where it's like, you drafted him in the first round. Go get him.
Good luck.
I think that's kind of where they are right now, because they're not putting Trey Avery out there. They're not putting Lonnie Johnson out there to go cover Stephon Diggs. They drafted this guy in the first round.
Good luck, Caleb.
Go get him. That's where I feel like they are on that front. What's next?
Another texter says, do you think Derrick Henry is going to have another game like last year against the Bills in order for the Titans to win?
I think they freaking hope so.
I think that is how the Titans do win this game, if they do win this game, is Derrick Henry and running the football.
So D-Mace said to me today when I was on the midday show last hour, he was like, I think that Treylon Burks needs 11 targets today. And I was like, 11 targets? I hope they don't throw the ball 11 times.
That's a bad sign if the Titans have to throw the ball 11 times to Treylon Burks.
I'm like, I hope they don't even throw it 11 times. When they played the Ravens in the playoffs, Derek had 30 carries for 190-something yards. Tannehill threw it 14 times. That's the kind of game you want to play. And I know you're thinking to yourself, like, wait a minute, what? 14 times? Look, I'm sure nobody expected the Titans to throw it 14 times going into that playoff game. But that is what I think the Titans want to do, is I think they want to run it 30 times today. So to the texter's question about Derek had 100, I think it was like 127 or 170-something last year against the Bills. He had the 76-yard touchdown run. And it's like, can Derek do that again? I freaking hope so. They freaking hope so. And I'm pretty sure you freaking hope so, too. Like, you guys need to hope that. Like, they hope they can. And I guarantee you, Buffalo, every day, they're not worried about Burks. They're not worried about Woods. They're not worried about Hooper. They're not worried about Tannehill. They're not worried about Phillips. They're not worried about any of that. They're worried about Henry. The whole day, the whole week, every practice, 22. I guarantee you that's what they're – because the numbers are obvious. When Derek doesn't get 100, the Titans probably lose. And when Derek gets 100, the Titans win. And so they know it. I know it.
That's how they won last year.
That's how everybody knows it.
I wonder if that sets them up a little bit to be, because everyone's anticipating the Henry thing. I don't know if this is a good game to do that, but a little bit of early on set up the or use the pass to set up the run earlier in the game. I don't know. You know, just something that they can try and zig when everyone's expecting something else.
Sure. And because they are predictable and run the ball on first down every time, maybe that could trick somebody up. But here's why I'm telling you I don't think that that's going to work in this game. Because Buffalo doesn't have to manufacture pressure on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They can get it with four. And they've got the two best safeties, like the best safety combo in the league. And so it's like, okay, you want to do that? Do it. We'll intercept it. We'll hit the quarterback. Doesn't matter. And that's ultimately why I haven't made my official pick yet, but if I think the Titans are going to lose, that's why. 615-737-1025. More your phone, 615-737-1025. So I told you all that at 10 o'clock, I fully expect the Titans to be 0-2 at the end of today, and I'm not upset about it. And look, I still think they can make the playoffs at 0-2 and everything else. But what if they don't? Just what if they don't? We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.